Hosting for this podcast is made possible through mtgcast.com, which is supported by a generous contribution from quietspeculation.com, Magic's premier trading and financial news site.
The Rundown is a daily Magic the Gathering news and information show, bringing you the top stories from throughout the Magic world. Today is Saturday, July 13th, 2013. This is episode number 33. I am your host, Chris Eberowski. The Rundown is brought to you today by Mistobox, the amazing coffee subscription service. You'll learn more about them as the show progresses. If you are joining us via MTGcast, welcome to The Rundown Saturday. This is the show when we recap the best articles from throughout the week, clean out the email inbox, and do whatever special segment we have planned. Today we are live from the Midnight M14 release event at Amazing Discoveries in Tucson, Arizona, amazingmtg.com. Hopefully we'll be able to coerce a few of the 50-some-odd players who joined us at this event to come on microphone and chat a little bit about M14. Getting started, let's dive into the mailbox. Our first question comes from Chad in Denver. Chad writes, "Hey Chris, love the show. What's your favorite card in Magic 2014, and what's your favorite card of all time? First, Chad, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. My favorite card in Magic 2014 and my favorite card of all time are very similar, actually. Once upon a time, there was a set called Mercadian Masks, and in that set, there was an awful blue, 5-mana blue enchantment called Cowardice, and man, I played the hell out of that card. I came up just short in a Mask Block PTQ at the height of Rising Waters and Blue Skies, playing Blue-White Cowardice, using cards like Jolting Merfolk and Defender and Beck and Rhystic Deluge to combo with Cowardice and kind of keep opposing creatures off the board, as well as cards like Majida the Lion to reset the board if things got a little bit too hairy. Also, I could do this cool trick where I would activate Majida and then bounce him so that I would get like a one-sided Wrath, and then I could kind of replay my side of the board and get settled again. I loved that deck. I thought that deck was just absolute blast. It was annoying to play against. It rewarded a lot of tight play. It was just an awesome deck. Fast forward to state championships later that year. This was with full Mercadian Mask block plus just Invasion. I wound up playing a black-red control deck that kind of topped out on Void and Urza's Rage, and you know, it had like a Vampiric Tutor kind of toolbox, and it was okay, but I, you know, it was a 230 brew, and I really hated it. The deck I should have been playing, though, was the one that we wound up giving to my buddy Dan, but who we kind of built it together, and it was Blue-White Cowardice, and this time, instead of having more cards like Majida the Lion, I mean, still played it, instead of playing like three, I think we played one, but it had now Wrath of God and Rout. Dan wound up missing the top 8 on tiebreakers. I wound up doing side drafts after round 3. Every time I think about building a commander deck, I look at my foil Cowardice, my foil Rhystic Deluge, my Jolting Merfolk, and I think, yeah, I could build that. So, like, I have a lot of fond memories over 20 years of playing Magic, but no single card evokes more of those fond memories than Cowardice. So that's pretty definitely my favorite card of all time. I've actually been asked this question a little bit recently, and I've had to think about it, and you know, cards like Rescue pop into my head because that was the first foil I ever fell in love with. Cards like Orcish Oriflamme, cards like Janunafreet. Janunafreet's actually one of the first creatures I ever really liked. Cards like Sinbad, which I used to collect, but Cowardice, pretty definitely my favorite of all time. So it should come as no surprise that my favorite Magic 2014 card is Dismiss into Dream, which, you know, as far as I'm concerned, like, nostalgically, it's got some pretty big shoes to fill, but it has a pretty nice pedigree, so I'm sure that I will love it. So thank you for that question, Chad. We also missed a really great article since last time we talked on a Saturday. Anthony Avatolo published a really great tournament report from Grand Prix Vegas over at legitmtg.com, but unfortunately it was on the tail end of our moratorium on Grand Prix Vegas material, so I didn't get to feature it. Sorry, Anthony. Check it out in the show notes, which you can find at thetcast.com/rundown/033. Thank you again, Chad, for your question. If you've got a question for the show, or if you want to, you know, let us know about an article that we missed, or if you've just got general show feedback, you can send us an email at therundown@thetcast.com. Moving on, we've had a great few weeks of content since our last Saturday recap. We've covered a lot of big topics. We covered kind of the aftermath of Grand Prix Vegas. We had a really great article series over at Star City Games that inspired a lot of discussion in the Magic community, a lot of discussion on forums and Twitter about how to improve Magic coverage. It was a four-part series over 4 days. It was fantastic. Really not much more to say than that. We had, as Magic 2014 has approached, and I'm not sure if this was partly inspired by Magic 2014 and Magic being 20 years old, but we've had kind of an uptick in articles being published about, you know, like what Magic means to me. And we had a really great one. This is definitely my favorite article over the last 2 weeks. It was called The Night a Magic Podcast Saved My Life. It was by Heather Lafferty at legitmtg.com. And it was just an absolutely beautiful piece about ultimately how Magic saved her life. And that is not being hyperbolic. My heart was literally breaking as I was reading this article, because no one should ever have to endure what she went through. And I'm really glad that that Magic was able to pull her out of that. So we had heavier topics like that, but you know, we've also talked a lot about the Magic Hall of Fame, especially over the last week since ballots went out. There's been a lot of discussion about who is deserving and kind of how to tabulate votes and how to, you know, how many Pro Tour top eights is a win worth? Is it worth 1.5? Like, is 3 top eights with a win more impressive than 4 top eights with no wins? How much should a GP top eight be worth? How much credence should we give to players, older players with their resumes, players like Mark Justice and Scott Johns, who played at the very onset of the Pro Tour, versus players like Martin Jouza, who, you know, only has 2 top eights, but he has, you know, just an insane number of Pro Tour pro points. And, you know, he's got like 17 Grand Prix top eights or something absurd like that. You know, how do we judge those kinds of separate players versus players like Ben Stark, who are still very much active and very much at the top of their game, and players like Tom Martell, who are kind of coming into their own recently, and players like Chris Piculo, whose resume maybe doesn't stack up against all of the greats, but who really crusaded in the early days for transparency and honest play on the Pro Tour. So we've had a lot of articles about that. We've had a lot of Hall of Fame ballots have been published. Some people really like the Hall of Fame ballots being published. Some people really don't. I'm of the opinion I really like seeing the Hall of Fame ballots. I wish they wouldn't do it right away. I wish they would publish them kind of later on in the process, so that it doesn't change some people's votes and it doesn't you know, lead to more gaming of the system in terms of, like, you know, oh well, you know, Huey's now on 70% of ballots, so we can stop voting for him and, you know, try and stuff the ballot box for some other people. So I wish they would start publishing them later after more and more ballots have been submitted. But I like that they're out there. I like that the discussion that comes from it. It still completely baffles me that Mark Justice and Scott Johns aren't in the Pro Tour as, you know, those early pioneers. I've been reading a little bit more about how there's some kind of whispers about Scott Johns maybe not playing totally honestly all the time, but, you know, Olivier Rouel was banned for cheating for a while, and he is in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, it baffles me that Scott Johns is not in there, having been convicted of nothing in the Court of Magic Law. It baffles me that Mark Justice is not in there, being the game's first superstar, and his median finish is insane, you know, 4 top eights in only 17 Pro Tours. It baffles me that Mark Herberholz is not in. It baffles me that he is now a corner case candidate, that he's like a borderline guy. That's just completely insane to me. I never thought we'd get to a point where Gadiel Slifer wouldn't even be in the conversation. It's really very interesting and impressive to me how Magic has changed, especially over the last 5-ish years, ever really about since Zendikar came out. Zendikar on the back of Magic 2010. It's really, really impressive, really interesting to me to see how Magic has changed. And I'm really excited to see how Magic 2014 can kind of carry the game's legacy forward, and how I don't even know where I'm going with this. Welcome to TCast Saturday. It's really interesting to me to see and kind of think about where the game is going moving forward. You know, in the next season, next couple of seasons, we're going to be getting back a Pro Tour. It's going to be cool to see if maybe we can get back an actual World Championships instead of just the Magic World Cup or the Players' Championship. It's going to be interesting to see if we can kind of return Magic to being a mind sport at the highest levels instead of a promotional tool at the highest levels. So that'll be really interesting as well. But man, Gadiel Slifer's not a Hall of Famer. Not even in the conversation. I never conceived, and that's a testament to how far Magic has come, especially over the last 5 years. So kudos to Wizards of the Coast for raising the bar that much. And kudos to kind of all of the older players who are making a return to the game, like Eric Froelich and Tom Martell, who have essentially pushed Gadiel Slifer out of that conversation and pushed Mark Herberholtz onto the fringes of candidacy. So kudos there. Additionally, in addition to the Hall of Fame, we've also talked a lot about Magic 2014. I think on, gosh, what was that? Maybe the 10th? I don't know. Sometime this week, I talked about, or maybe it was in the Aborted Monday show. Anyway, sometime this week, whether it got recorded or not, I talked kind of a little bit about what my favorite cards in M14 are. This is cards like the aforementioned Dismiss Into Dream, but also cards like Celestial Flare. You know, white-white, target player sacrifices an attacking or blocking creature. Cards like Pillar Field Ox, which is, if I'm being honest, it's another one of those cards that's in the running for like my favorite of all time. Because in Shards of Alara, I used to draft Rox Meditant and cast him in decks that like didn't have green creatures just because I wanted the 2/4. Cards like, I'm looking at the spoiler now. Dismiss Into Dream, obviously. Domestication is exciting. Frost Breath is exciting. I like Messenger Drake. Spell Blast is really nostalgic for me. Big fan of that one. I really like the Bog Brew Witch, Festering Newt, Bubbling Cauldron kind of triumvirate. I think that is really interesting. I like that Opportunity has been... I like... All total, I like probably about 15 or 20 cards in this set. Lay of the Land might be my favorite in this set from a tournament perspective. And actually, Lay of the Land is very interesting to me when it comes to Magic 2014, because I think it's very indicative of where Wizards of the Coast wants mana fixing in Standard and in going forward, because we don't have that cycle of mana fixing lands like we're used to. You know, the Glacial Fortress, Ground Catacomb, those style buddy lands. We're going to be losing the Innistrad enemy color buddy lands. We're going to be missing those kind of guaranteed mana fixers, and so we're going to have to go to, and we won't have a card like Farseek to just search for two different colors of mana in addition to green. So three color decks are going to be a little bit harder, except that Lay of the Land lets you make these kind of elegant three color mana bases with some splashed basic lands you can just go fetch out of your deck at will. Cards like Darksteel Ingot, which is an artifact source of mana. I like that these are, especially, I really like these cards if the kind of backburnered rumor about Theros is true and that we're going to be getting the Shadowmoor Eventide style filter lands, because those filter lands don't always play nice with shock lands. Like, they don't slot immediately into the standard mana bases in place of the buddy lands, because the buddy lands have this nice side effect where, like, they come into play tapped, which really sucks, but you still get to play Magic. You still get to make your land drops, and you still get to cast your spells. But with the filter lands, like, if you keep a hand that's all filter lands, none of those lands tap for color. So it makes mana bases a little bit awkward, which is why I really like them as a complement to the shock lands. Like, you're not, like, eight lands away from just having a third color all the time, which is really nice. I think that would be a great touch. But especially with cards like Lay of the Land. I really like where Mana appears to be going. Stay tuned to see if it is going to continue going that direction. I really like the Scavenging Ooze reprint. So we did. We talked a lot about Magic 2014. My favorite article, again, from 2 weeks ago was how Magic saved my life. My favorite article this week was the 1,000-mile grind by Brian Braun to win over at StarCityGames.com. This was about the grinder mentality, and it was a very entertaining story, very entertaining semi-tournament report about Brian Braun to win, scooping up Chris Van Meter, leaving work like right from work on Friday, and driving 1,000 miles to Worcester for a pair of Star City Opens in search of those like elusive last few points for the Invitational so that they can get some buys. I think it was an incredibly entertaining read. That grinder mentality at times maybe sometimes gets a bad rap, but I'm a big fan. So check that article out. I'll have a link to it in the show notes. That's about it for the recap. I think the rest of the time, after we have some music, the rest of the time we're just going to be talking to some of the local players here and seeing if they'll join us on microphone and talk about their Magic 2014 pools, what cards they're excited about, etc., etc., etc. If you wind up hearing the outro, we couldn't get anybody, but I have a feeling at least several of these people will want to come on microphone. So after the break, you'll start hearing that. I'm here at the amazing MTG.com Amazing Discoveries M14 Midnight release with Ryan Lieber. What is your official job title? It's like general manager or something, right?
I am employee manager of Amazing Discoveries.
All right. So, what does that entail exactly?
In a nutshell, making sure everything runs smoothly, making sure the schedule is taken care of, filling in gaps, that sort of thing.
Cool, cool. So we have the M14 release event. How many people showed up tonight?
Tonight I have, I believe, 51 players registered for the event.
That seems like a pretty good turnout for a core set midnight release.
Yeah, I'm decently happy with it. I was a little used to the Return to Ravnica block where we had 115 plus people. Yeah. So.
How's the buzz been about the set in store over the last week?
I've heard some mixed reviews. People are excited about Mutavault, Scavenging Ooze, that sort of thing. Slivers is a big hit with the casual crowd. But overall, it's the core set lull almost. It's not... people aren't ecstatic, but...
Okay.
General excitement.
So, are you playing standard right now at all?
I'm trying to. It's something that's on my radar as far as things I need to focus on with the AMI coming up.
What is the AMI? We have some listeners who aren't in Arizona.
Okay, so the AMI is the Arizona Magic Invitational. Essentially, it's just a qualify-only tournament through a series of qualifiers held within the state for cash money. So.
Okay. Cool. So when you do play standard, what are you playing these days?
I've been playing a four-color reanimator deck that's been popularized by Adam Prozac.
So this is the, Faithless Looting...
Right. Yeah.
Unburial Rites into, Sire of Insanity, Boros Reckoner...
Thragtusk.
Angel Serenity, Thragtusk.
All those goodies, yeah.
We have featured that one on the podcast a few times.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the deck.
In Magic 2014, what are the cards that you're looking for that deck in particular?
Nothing has caught my eye specifically for the deck. The main constructed hits that I've seen are Doomblade. I'm excited to see if there's any young Pyromancer decks. But nothing for the Reanimator deck has really...
Okay. How do you feel about the new Chandra?
I'm not very good at evaluating cards before I play with them. but...
Just like gut impression, is it a hit or is it not a hit?
It seems like a hit to me. Nothing too overpowered, but I like what it does. It draws cards in the mid-rangey red decks. It's a good sideboard option. It's basically what I've been hearing going around, but nothing that's going to just break the format.
Okay. So, in Magic 2014, what are the cards that you are super really crazy excited about? Like, what's your favorite card in this set?
I'm a big fan of Primeval Bounty.
Okay. This is the plus like 5 and a green.
All value all the time.
And when you play a land, you gain some life, and when you play creatures, you make more creatures, and when you don't play creatures, you make your creatures bigger or something?
Exactly.
Is that the deal?
Yeah.
That card seems unbeatable in London.
Yeah, well, actually, a one Dusty Ochoa just beat Primeval Bounty, which was active for many, many turns.
There were some other factors involved there, yeah? As I recall, his opponent was doing nothing but playing lands.
Yeah, that may have happened. But.
He cast a Verdant Haven, I think.
Yeah, that was the only spell I saw him cast before a 2-2, which he just died the next turn after that.
But Primeval Bounty, that's actually really interesting.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem like a constructed card.
We'll see about that.
Okay. Oh, I like where that is going. So you're not playing tonight. Are you planning on playing any of the pre-releases throughout the rest of the weekend?
If I am not sleeping all day tomorrow, I will try to make the 3 o'clock. We will see. I probably won't get home until about 6 o'clock this morning, though, so...
Okay.
To be determined.
Yeah. So, because Amazing Discoveries has what, like 8 pre-releases this weekend, something like that.
Yeah, I believe so. Six.
All right. We're getting word there is 6. All right. Do you have any closing thoughts? Anything you want to plug while you're on the air?
Not really.
You don't want to plug AmazingMTG.com?
Sure, yeah. AmazingMTG.com. Strategy articles, great prices. Best store in Arizona.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
This episode of The Rundown is brought to you by Mistobox. You saw Mistobox on ABC's Shark Tank. They are simply the best coffee subscription around. If you need energy for your late night brewing sessions, if you need an early morning boost for a PTQ, or if you need to stay up for a midnight pre-release, Mistobox can help you do it. They hand-select 4 coffee samples from the country's best roasters and deliver them right to your door every single month. Because you never get the same samples twice, every box will bring new, interesting flavors directly to you. And best of all, when you run out of your favorite sample, ordering more is super easy and comes with free shipping. You can learn more by going to thetcast.com/coffee. Get started today for as little as $5 for your first box and discover your next favorite coffee. Our thanks to Mistobox for supporting this episode of The Rundown and the entire TCast network. We're here with Jeff McCoy. Jeff, say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Magic 2014 release event. Just wrapped up. How'd your event go?
I went 1-1-1.
How did you get the draw? Was that intentional or unintentional?
It was intentional. I played a teammate, and both of us were very unsure about our decks, so we just decided to split the difference.
Okay.
Try to cut the field bats.
Okay. What was your initial impressions on this format?
It's better than last year's core set, but not as good as the other two M sets.
So it's better than M13, not as good as 12, 11, or 10?
Correct.
Okay. What colors did you wind up in?
I ended up in white-black, playing a Sanguine Bond combo.
Okay, so you were telling me about this a little bit earlier. What was the... You said you had a fireball?
Yeah, I had a Congregate.
So yeah, I guess that's a fireball.
Yeah, I mean, I did win a game by casting it where I gained 22, my opponent loses 22.
Okay, that seems pretty strong. What are the cards you're most excited for? Like, when you sat down to open your pool, what was the thing you wanted to see back most?
I was excited to play Slivers and get it out of my system. And I originally had a red-green build with, like, 6 Slivers and splashing white for 2 Hivesterns. That's a card, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that makes 2-1-1 for those guys. And then I decided that deck was too ambitious. okay. So I ended up looking through it. I found Sanguine Bond, like A Mark of the Vampire, The Congregate, A Divine Favor, and three Child of Knights.
Okay. So how do you feel about the... Like, which side of the fence on the new Slivers do you come down on, art-wise?
Art-wise, I'm pro.
Okay. Because there's a lot of controversy about, you know, well, now they're more humanoid instead of more like the... I don't know, I guess the Battleship Troopers or Battleship... What is it? Starship Troopers?
Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the new ones because they're on the plane of Shandalar.
Okay.
So, Slivers are all about evolution. So now they're on a different plane, so this is how they evolved on that plane.
Okay.
Previous ones were on Wrath, so on Wrath they evolved that way.
Okay. I think that's super reasonable. What's your favorite card in M14?
Favorite card in M14 is kind of a cop-out for me, because it's Charming Color of the Pride.
Okay. Besides that?
Besides that?
Because I know your love of a Johnny Caller of the Pride is pretty well documented at this point.
It is.
Via spending any amount of time with you or reading... Didn't you interview him?
I did. I did interview Johnny.
And where was... That was on AmazingMTG.com, yeah?
Correct.
And you do something there, right?
I do. I write an article every week, formerly titled Snapkeep, soon to be titled something different. Because I recently came to the realization that Mr. Adam Prozac, formerly of Arizona, his Twitch channel is called Snapkeeps.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let him have his title.
We call that namespace pollution.
Yeah. So I'm going to let him have his title and change mine.
Okay.
And I also edit and suggest content.
Okay. Cool. So aside from a Johnny, what's the card for you in M14?
Forget what it's called. It's like Rise of the Dark Realms.
Oh, seven
black, like resurrect all creatures.
Yeah,
the card seems pretty sweet.
That card seems that one seems spicy.
It kind of turned up the Timmy and me. I was like, oh, they reprinted Traumatize.
Yeah,
and now they're giving me like a resurrect all creatures. So it's like Traumatize you, bring all your stuff back to life.
Yeah,
seems sweet.
Okay, cool. Before we let you go, I have a couple more questions. Number one, what are you playing in Standard right now?
I am currently playing Jund Midrange.
Okay, do you see anything in M14 for that deck?
A lot of people say Doomblade, but I don't think the deck can play it. I think it has to stay on Putrefy because the new legend rule changes.
Mm-hmm.
Your Olivias are no longer removal for opposing Olivias.
Okay.
So there's no way to actually kill theirs without Putrefy.
Yeah.
Also, I don't like that you can't kill Aristocrats.
Okay. Cool.
Otherwise, maybe a Chandra?
Okay, that's a good segue. How do you feel about that?
She's a really well-designed planeswalker, and I feel like it's going to take a lot of playtesting to figure out whether or not she's good. Because you look at her, and the plus one ability, the one damage and up to one damage, isn't very big. But the ability to like have an extra card for the turn seems really good for decks that can't normally draw cards, like Jund Range. All they have right now is Garrick to draw cards.
Yeah.
But, like, Chandra, you know, gives you that extra card every turn without having to use, like, Underworld Connections.
Okay. Cool. Last question. Is there anything that you would like to plug while you're here?
AmazingMTG.com.
Okay.
I want to get people to go there every week, read our articles.
Cool.
We're not all about the Shatter Deck because you can go get that better somewhere else. But we tried to bring something different for the local scene.
It's kind of like a flavor of Tucson kind of thing, yeah?
Right.
Cool. All right, thank you, Jeff. Thanks for hanging out at the Midnight M14 release with us.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed those couple of interview segments. Thank you to Ryan Leeper and Jeff McCoy for hanging out with us and chatting for a little bit. This has been the Rundown for Saturday, July 13th. You can find our daily shows throughout the week at thetcast.com/rundown, as well as on iTunes, so please do subscribe to us there. If you have a new source for Magic the Gathering news, if you have a question, if you have feedback, we'd love to hear it. Drop us an email, therundown@thetcast.com. Thank you to MTGCast for simulcasting this episode. Thank you to Mistobox for sponsoring. I have been your host, Chris Zabrowski. You can find me on Twitter @TokuNJT. Thank you all so very much for listening, and I will see you back here next week for another edition of The Rundown. Bye.